morning. Man, I trust and pray everybody is doing well on a beautiful Lord's Day. The sun is shining and God is good.
All the time.
He really, really is good. We're so glad that you're here today. If you are part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to one another. And if you're here, just look, just give somebody a wave, a smile, yeah, a tip of the hat, one that says, I'm just tickled to death to have you here. That's the post-COVID handshake nowadays. You know how it is. You know, everybody has to, you know, kind of keep their distance. But anyway, we're glad that you're here today. We look forward to what the Lord has in store for each and every one of us today. We're just going to ask that that His Spirit would indwell us, that in all that we say and all that we do might truly magnify Him. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, we just want to come to you now, praising you and thanking you, Lord, for the fact that you and I make a majority. Lord, that you're a friend that does stick closer than a brother, that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us, and that Lord, you're going to walk every step of life with us through the valleys and then, Lord, as well as on the mountaintops. Today, Lord, as we have gathered together here in your name, we've done so that we might truly hear from you. We pray, Father, that you would take the process out of what we do, that it might truly be about meeting you here today in this place. Lord, I pray that as we lift you up, that we will truly see you from a different angle. Lord, I pray that there will be something we will learn today. I love where your word tells us that if we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it will be open to us. So today, Lord, I pray that above all things, we will truly seek your face. Because we know that if we do, then Lord, you're going to give us something that we've never had before. So Lord, in every aspect of what we do, help us, Father, to do it as an act of worship to and for you. Lord, and I just ask that that you would just become real to us today in a very, very special way. And Lord, just be with us as we go through this service. And we do ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. And for his sake we pray. Amen.
That sounded great. As a reminder, we have our fifth Sunday sing next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Hope you'll be here. Please join me as we sing 52, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
thank you, choir. Please join me as we sing, He Knows My Name.
Bible, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Galatians chapter 6 this morning, Galatians chapter 6, and you've heard me mention this before, that there are such thing as laws. Now, depending on how you look at them, a law is something that happens 100% of the time. Now, when I said law, most of you all thought about, police officers or that sort of law, which that can be true as well, but I'm thinking about laws that maybe we read about or studied about when we were in science class growing up, like, for instance, the law of gravity. How many of you all understand the law of gravity? The rest of you need to wake up. How many of you all have ever fallen down? If you've fallen down, you understand the law of gravity. Now, that happens 100% of the time, doesn't it? It's not like Bugs Bunny. I grew up on Bugs Bunny. I love Bugs Bunny. I mean, where are my Bugs fans out there? All right, good job. Remember what would happen occasionally in the cartoons, like Wile E. Coyote, all of a sudden he just walks off of a cliff and then he's standing there in midair. And then the thought of, oh, I'm not supposed to be able to do that, then he's gone. Gravity doesn't work that way. It happens immediately. Most of you know it happens so fast that you can't do anything about it, right? Right, Cherie? You've experienced that recently. Yeah, know exactly what that's like. But a law happens 100% of the time. There are plenty of laws that you and I know. There are plenty of laws in the Bible, and one of those is one that we want to look at this morning, and this morning, I titled the message, The Laws of the Harvest, okay? Look with me, if you would, at Galatians chapter 6. We're going to begin reading with verse 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. It says this, it says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you truly would take these words, Lord, these words that do not return void. Lord, may they be planted within our heart that they might spring forth new hope. Father, I pray that today, as we come together and as we concentrate on hearing what it is that you have to say to us today, Lord, that if there's correction in our lives that needs to take place, then you will point that out. We know that you're faithful and just to do that. But Lord, we also ask that you would give us grace and strength by which to make changes as changes need to be made. Father, I pray that if there's one here who truly doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would give their life to you and that they would start anew and start fresh. Lord, I pray for those that are wayward and weary today. Lord, help them to come home knowing that not only are you waiting for them, but that you will meet them on the road to return. So, Lord, bless me as your speaker for these few moments, that you would truly be high and lifted up as only you can. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these particular passages, these are some that probably aren't familiar to us. We have probably used them maybe in a conversation with somebody before when they've had some sort of an issue or something. You know, maybe there's that person in your life that they've been doing wrong. Maybe you told them they were doing wrong, and then all of a sudden something happens, and they come to you, and they say, oh, man, I'm in trouble or whatever, and then you've used that term. Well, I'll tell you one thing, whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. Yeah, you've either heard that or you've probably said that to somebody along the way. But now we were talking about laws of the harvest, because that is what this is talking about. You know, whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we do, here is something that you and I must know and understand. Whatever's taking place, whoever you see, the things that you do, you are sowing seed. Are we clear on that? There's no way that you can sit back and say, well, I'm just not going to sow seed. Uh-uh. How you talk to people, how you treat people, what takes place, what's going on, you are sowing seed everywhere you go. The question is, what kind of seed are you sowing? Because it's ironic that when you sow seed, something happens, doesn't it? Well, it should happen. I know that there's a lot of folks out here who are gardeners, and you have been working diligently. Maybe, you know, a lot of you have been working diligently to go ahead and get that garden in. How many of y'all have got some stuff planted already? There we go. Yeah, you're dedicated, man. All right. Now, when you went out there and planted, did you, you know, put these plants or seeds in the ground and just say, oh, that's it, that's all it is to it? Is there an expectation down the road? The answer is yes. The expectation is that you have toiled and you have planted and something is going to grow. Now, let me take you back to where I was just a moment ago when I said no matter where we go, what we do, what we say, how we act, how we react, we are sowing seed. And let me make you a promise. There's something that is going to grow from the seed that you were sowing. Period. And some of y'all say, well, I couldn't grow anything. Let me make that promise to you that you're going to grow something with the seed that you're sowing. Whether it's good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent, or otherwise. But there are a few laws to the harvest that we find out from these particular passages. And the first one is this, that the harvest is limited to the planting. That makes sense, doesn't it? The harvest is limited to the planting. If you don't go plant something, nothing's going to grow, is it? Okay? Now remember, I said we're sowing seed, but I can't go out in the backyard and say, well, I was in Katie's backyard, and she's got all kinds of vegetables growing, and they look really good. I can't go out back and say, yard, why are you not growing vegetables like her yard? A lot of y'all would sit back and say, well, you didn't plant anything. Nothing's going to grow if it's not planted, right? So the harvest is limited to the planting. The Lord called us as believers, and he called us as a church to go out and make disciples. If we're not attempting to make disciples, there won't be disciples. We have to purpose to do some things. If we talk about reaching others with the gospel of Christ, then the gospel of Christ has to be sown as we go, doesn't it? If it doesn't, then what we do is we come together and feel really, really good about ourselves, and we slap each other on the back and we talk about what kind of outfit we have or what life is like. Folks, there is no retirement when it comes to spirituality. You retire when you see Jesus, not until then. Why is that? Because everywhere we go, everything that we do, we represent Him. We are sowing seed. We are dropping them. I've been places before where, and it's sad but true, I actually have had many servers in restaurants who said, "I detest Sunday lunch." And I said, "Why is that?" And they said, "Because that's when all the church people come in. And they're the biggest complainers and the smallest tippers on the face of this planet." That is not a good seed to sow. Because you notice what they said. They didn't say when that person or that person or that person comes in. They said when the church people come in. They've identified you that way. But the harvest is limited to the planting. That's a pretty easy concept. If you don't plant, nothing's going to grow. If you don't plant the right thing, nothing is going to grow. I cannot go out and plant tomatoes and expect squash to grow, can I? Now, I could this past year because some wise guy changed the little tags around, and I thought I had me some jalapeno peppers. And when they were growing, I said, "They're the weirdest jalapeno peppers I have ever seen in my life." I said, "I ain't never seen a jalapeno that fat." You know why? It's because they were bell peppers. I thought that was what I planted. I had an expectation that there would be jalapenos, but no. Somebody changed the tags around, and changed all of them around. Some kid probably, yeah, sitting there thinking, went there and moved all the little labels around. I didn't have no jalapenos. I had bell peppers. I wasn't expecting that, but here's the bottom line. I planted it, and it grew. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So the harvest is limited to the planting. And then the second thing we need to understand about the harvest is that the harvest comes later than the planting. And then y'all are going, "No." Remember when I said there's some people in here that have raised their hands and said they have already been out, they have already planted certain things with an expectation that those certain things will grow. As the weather gets warmer, as the sun and the rain nurture the plant, as it begins to grow. And there's this ever-present need to go out and make sure that that plant is nurtured along the way. But the harvest comes later. All of the hard work that's been put in doesn't happen the next day. You don't go out and plant the garden and get up the next morning and say, "Well, go out and get some tomatoes and some peppers and some corn and some squash and bring it all in." Because you know what it's going to look like? On day two, it looks a whole lot like it did on day one. Now, that's going to become important for a reason. Because we're in a society of instant gratification, aren't we? We want it now. Where are my impatient people out there? Come on, confession's good for the soul. You don't like to wait for anything. You see my hand? I struggle when I order something from Amazon as to whether or not to check that next day delivery thing. And then I look at the price of it, and then good judgment comes into play. You can wait two extra days and save $15. Oh, but so bad. I want it tomorrow. It's guaranteed by tomorrow if I click this button and pay that. We want stuff to happen now. And folks, you need to understand that what happened in this passage is there was something that was laid out. I want to carry you back to our text for just a minute. When he lays out something very interesting, in verse 7 he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." And most of us get that when it comes down to planting and cultivating and harvesting a harvest. But he correlates that not only in the physical life, but he correlates that in the spiritual life. Notice what he says in verse 8, and here's the key. It says, for he who sows to his flesh, now we're in the spiritual side of things. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And in the same way you can make this application physically in things, you can make this application spiritually in things. When we talk about the grace of God and we talk about the goodness of God, let's just make it real, real simple. This is the way I learned it when I was little because I have a very simple mind, but it worked for me. There was this old statement, garbage in, garbage out. If all that you're putting in here is garbage, and by the way, that includes your physical health as well, and it includes your spiritual health as well. I mean, if all you ate every day was, you know, Big Macs and bacon, it's going to catch up with you. Amen? It's going to catch up with you physically. Your heart's just going to be going, it's not going to want to work. You're not going to be healthy. In the same way, if you keep putting garbage into your heart and garbage into your mind, that is what's going to come out. And folks, let me make you a promise. Coming together on Sunday morning for an hour is not good enough to sustain you and to keep you throughout your life. You've got to feed yourself. You don't eat once a week, do you? I don't. You can look at me and tell that. I'm going to eat several times today. How are we spiritually? Are we taking the good things in? Are we allowing the good things to permeate who we are? Notice what he said. He says, if you sow to the flesh, then you will reap corruption. He says in that verse 8, but if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. Where are you sowing today? Because remember what I said, you are sowing. And when you sow, the harvest isn't going to be right now. The harvest is going to be down the road. In a month or so, all of a sudden, as you planted that little garden and you put those tomato plants in and you've tried to keep them up and keep them from falling over and keep bugs from eating them and put seven dust on them and everything else you got to do, eventually you start to see a little tomato. Now, how many of y'all get excited when you see that little tomato? Oh, yeah, you're taking pictures, you're posting it on social media, you're calling family. Come here, everybody, come here, look, we got a tomato going. And you're sitting there going, grow, baby, grow, because I'm going to eat you up. Literally. And then the satisfaction that comes when you cut that tomato up on that plate with a good meal. Dash of salt, a little bit of pepper. There's something satisfying about that. But you see, the harvest comes later on, not in the immediacy. Now, that's important for a reason. Bear with me. The third law we want to look at is that the harvest is greater than the planting. I love it when you all plant. How many of y'all plant big gardens? I love you all. You know why? Because the preacher always winds up being able to get some of that. And here's why. Because you've got enough for friends and family. In fact, there are times when you've said, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this. How many of y'all have ever said that? Make sure you have my address, because I can tell you what you can do with some of it. You can bring it my way, because I will help you take care of the harvest. I love it. But the bottom line is that the harvest is greater than the planting. You might have taken that one little tomato plant and put it into the ground, and all of a sudden, if you do it right and you cultivate it right and the rain cooperates with you and the fertilizer is there, this plant is heavy laden with these tomatoes or peppers or whatever else it is. There's tons of them. And you're going, man, that thing is spitting out, you know, vegetables like I've never seen before in my life. And you're enjoying them and you're letting other people enjoy them. But have you noticed that the harvest is greater than what you planted? Are you lining this up spiritually? The same holds true spiritually for each and every one of these points. Because the law of the physical harvest and the law of the spiritual harvest follow the same laws. If you go out and sow good seed, let me make you a promise that your harvest will be greater than what you planted. I've experienced that, and let me tell you something. That is one of the greatest joys in the spiritual life and in the spiritual walk. I have said this so many times that you guys are probably like, I wish you'd quit saying that. But when we go on these mission trips, you all have supported and you all have prayed back here at home and you all have given. You have given financially. You have given in so many different ways. I only wish that you could see the harvest that God allows when it comes down to what you've done. I wish that you could see the number of children that you all have fed, not only spiritually, but also physically. I wish that you could see the advances that have taken place because you went out and you planted, and you're not even going to understand on this side of glory what you did, but let me tell you, God nurtured the plants, they have grown, and the harvest is plenteous. That is so neat to me. But the harvest, it's far greater than what the planting will be. Now, here's what you got to understand. That is true of the good planting and the bad. Remember what I said? The harvest is greater than the planting. And if you know what I mean, say amen. Remember what we said, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Are you sowing good seed or are you sowing bad seed? Whichever one you sow, I will promise that when the harvest comes, it is going to be greater than you ever thought it would be. It's going to be far greater than what you planted, good or bad. And some of y'all went, oh, because you know what the Holy Spirit's pointing out right now. Law number four, the harvest is proportionate to the planting. I love that Old Testament story of the the widow who had the two sons. Y'all remember that? And she pretty much had nothing to be able to pay her creditors, and the creditors were coming to take her sons as indentured servants. And she went to, you know, to the prophet and to the Lord and said, "What am I going to do? They're coming to take my boys. It's all I've got." And remember what she was told to do. She was told to go get pots. Key word, key phrase, not just a few. Go get pots. So she and probably the boys went out and got these pots. Because remember what was said was, what do you have? And she said, all I have is a little jar of oil. That's it. Nothing else in this world. Well, go get pots and don't just go get a few of them. I don't know that she knew what was taking place or what was going on. Because after the pots were collected, she was told to take the oil and to begin to pour it into the pots. I want to see the video replay on that when I get to heaven. Because I'm sure she started off and had this little pot and she's like, there's this little jar. She said a little jar of oil. She goes, and she filled that pot up. Well, get me another one. And then here comes another one. Now, I don't know how many pots she has because the word doesn't tell us how many she had. But I want to picture the fact that there was a lot of pots there, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you a scriptural reason why. I think there was a bunch of pots there, and she had this little cup of oil. And I believe with all my heart that she just kept pouring oil into these pots until every one of them in the room was filled up. I think that there was little pots.
I think there were medium pots, and I think there were big pots. And I think that every one of them was filled up to the brim with oil. And remember what happened. It said this. She called for another pot. She said, boys, bring me another pot. And what did they say? There aren't any more pots. And it wasn't until then that the oil ceased. I believe if there had been another pot, there'd have been more oil. If there'd have been 100 more pots, there'd have been 100 more pours of oil that came out of that cup. Notice the harvest is proportionate to the planting. What are you putting in? Are you doing what it is that God is telling you to do? I heard this, and I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but it was told of Alexander the Great that at one point he was heading in to the city, and there was a beggar that was out there, and Alexander signals to the treasurer, and the treasurer gives to this beggar some rice and some lentils and some different things, just a big scoop of it. And the beggar gets ready to head home. He says, you're going to go feed his family. And then Alexander the Great says, wait a minute, come back here. Give me that back. And the beggar says, well, you gave this to me. This is what I'm going to feed my family with. And he said, well, I know. He said, and it's purely up to you. But I'm asking you to give it back. You don't have to. And it says, so the beggar reached in and gave two little pieces of rice back to Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great tips a nod to the treasurer, and the treasurer tossed the beggar two gold coins. Are you picking up what's going on? What is your heart? Are you gracious and generous in your giving? Now, I'm not here today to preach on tithing, although I'm not afraid to do that because that's a biblical concept. But I will tell you this, you will never, ever, ever outgive God. Now, I dare you to try. I dare you. You hear me? Well, preacher, that's a bold statement. No, it's not, because that's what God himself said, didn't he? And over in the book of Malachi, that's the only place he says, try me, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing. Listen, God does not need what you think is yours, because none of it's yours anyway. It's all his. God is a cash machine. He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. He does not need your stuff. But what he wants to do is he wants to bless you in ways you never could have imagined. And people say, well, I just can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. Well, I just don't know. I dare you to try. I dare you. There's the line. See if God will not be faithful. I have tried my best to outgive God. And I've never succeeded. He has that. You've done that before where you tried to like slip somebody. Somebody says, well, let me pay for that. No, I won't take it. And you try to like slip them something. You can't do that to God. You can slip it to him, but all of a sudden your bank account goes up, or tires last longer, or fuel goes further. And if you've walked with the Lord any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. You cannot do it. What does that tie back to? The law that the harvest is proportionate to the planting. If you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. If you sow a little, you're going to reap a little. And God is calling all of us to trust him. Do we? I saw a statistic that was staggering among evangelicals, people who believe in the Lord, people who are regular attenders in the house of faith, who give less than 1%. The average Christian giving to the church, based on statistics, is $200 a year. $200 a year. Wow. Now, I want to ask you this question. What do you think that the church could do with those who were biblical tithers. I don't care what size the church is. And I'm not here to beat you up. I don't know what our financial records are. Our staff keeps our hands off of money. If you ever say anything about us and money, you're going to have to go through a bunch of people. And the reason why is because if we buy something, there's a receipt for it. And there's a place that it comes out of the budget. We don't see what goes in that offering plate. So if I offend you, if the shoe fits, wear it. I've said before, I've never offended a tither before. And then people go, I can't even gripe about it, because if I do, then he's going to know I don't do it. Well, listen, it's not about what your preacher knows. It's about what God knows. And let me make you a promise. God knows what's going on. I have been blessed beyond measure. When I've sat back and said, oh, this is cool. And it's been a little bit painful at times. And then the next thing you know, I turn around and I'm like, where'd this come from? God's real good at slipping money in your suit pocket. I've had that happen literally. You know, you're sitting there preaching, and all of a sudden you're like, where'd that come from? Well, it had to be the Lord, because I ain't had that much cash in my lifetime. So, you know, that kind of thing. The harvest is proportionate to the planting. What kind of planting are you going to do? Like I said, if I go out in the field, I can't just sit there and wait for some nice vegetables or fruit trees to grow unless there has been some planting. So the harvest is proportionate to what we plant. If we want to see people come to know Jesus, we're going to have to plant some seeds, don't we? If we want to see some things happen through the house of the Lord, then we've got to sow some seed, and we've got to realize it's not going to happen tomorrow. It happens down the road. The fifth and final thing I want to share with you in reference to the laws of the harvest is that we can't do anything about this year's harvest, but you can change next year. You know, for some of us, we've sat back and we've realized through the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we have not been sowing proper seed. Now, here's the bad part about that. You've planted it. It's going to grow. And it's going to give you a proportion that you never thought that you would ever have. And it's going to be down the road. You can't do anything about what you've already planted for this year, but you can for next year. Let me ask this question. What do you want to see in your marriage? What do you want to see in your family? What do you want to see in your finances? What do you want to see in your kids over the next 5 years? What do you want to see over the next 5 years? I like the old expression. You know when the best time to plant a tree is? 20 years ago. You know when the second best time to plant one is? Today. Today. It's time for you to start sowing some different seed so that you can reap a different harvest. If you don't like the harvest that you've been reaping, then you need to start sowing some different seed. And the Word of God right here tells us what we need to do. If you continually expose yourself to the ungodly things and the things of flesh, you are going to be sowing those seeds. And it's going to, trust me, it's going to grow, it's going to produce, it's going to produce more than you ever thought it was going to produce, and it's going to do it down the road. That's why so often people come to me and they say, well, preacher, I've changed my life around, but it just seems like it got worse. I'm like, yeah? You know why? Because you've been sowing all that bad seed from the past, and it hasn't come to fruition yet to be harvested, and now it is. Keep on sowing good seed, because what's going to happen is in the next harvest year, the good stuff's going to start to happen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Is it making sense? It doesn't happen overnight. When you change, truly change, it's going to get tougher, because you're still going to harvest all the stuff that you've sown in the past. I love God's mercy and I love God's grace. God can change things just like that in a moment's notice. But let me tell you something. There are consequences for sin, right? You know, today may be the first day of the rest of your spiritual life, and you may bow your head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and it may be as true and genuine as can be, but let me tell you, those plants that you sowed in the past are still gonna grow and produce. The question is, what's next year's harvest gonna look like? What do you want to reap next year? What do you want to see changed next year? You need to start planting seed today. In this moment, in this very time, you have to. Whatever you want to see tomorrow, you have to start doing today. And you got to give it time. You got to give it time. I've said before, I am not a very patient person. There's times that, you know, when we plant our little raised garden bed, I go out there, and I go out and look at it every day. That's probably, I don't know if it's a mistake or not. I've chased squirrels out of it. I have flicked bugs off of it. I get mad when I see it. And then, Lord have mercy, when you let them tomatoes start coming up and you see this bug boring a hole into it, ugh. I take that tomato off of the vine, and then I crush it. You know why? Because if I'm not going to enjoy it, neither is that bug, and I'm going to make sure it dies for what it did. Get on my tomatoes, will you? No. But I go out and I look every day. I remember sometimes coming back going, I don't know if these things are ever going to start to bloom or do anything, because I want some fruit, and I want it now. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes time. The spiritual side of things is the same way. But let me make an encouragement to you today. Don't quit. You keep sowing seed, and before long, it will not be a bitter harvest. It will be a fruitful one. It will be a sweet savor to the Master. But whatever you're sowing now, that's what you're going to reap later. I love how God does things. I love the challenges that He gives. Now, like I said, if you look at this particular passage, it was one of those situations where it took the physical side of things and it coupled it with the spiritual side of things. You know? It's true in the literal harvest that if you go out and plant corn, corn's going to grow. It's also true in the spiritual harvest that if you go out and plant the things of God, then you will see the things of God come forth. You know, we talk about converts all the time, but you know, I think one of the things that's very important is for us to realize and understand this. God didn't call us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. That warrants a little bit of study on your behalf. You see, because the thing about it is, a true disciple will be a convert. But supposedly a convert's not always a true disciple. And discipleship multiplies. It doesn't add, it multiplies. So what is it that God has issued before you as a challenge today? Is it your personal walk with Him? Is it your personal relationship with Him? Have you ever begun that? You know, it's ironic that when you look at it, there are so many people today who fly under the banner of the gospel and they fly under the banner of Christianity and spirituality that are clueless, that are sitting in churches today. Church is a thing that they just do on Sunday. Their life doesn't reflect it Monday through Saturday. It hasn't sunk into them. The only time they touch their Bible is they blow the dust off of it to bring it on Sunday, because they're sitting there coming through the door doing this to get the dust off of it, because otherwise, if it was being used, it wouldn't be so dusty. And let me tell you something. If you get you a new Bible, and I pray that you do, you better work it out before you get here, because I can tell if I'm looking at you turning something in your Bible and then pages are sticking together, that tells me something. Use it. Listen, take it from here and get it into here. I had a teacher tell me one time, I didn't do so well on a test. And I said, well, I studied for that test. It was a science teacher, and the science teacher said, oh, yeah, how'd you do that? Osmosis? And I was like, what do you mean? Osmosis. She said, well, did you sleep on that book and expect it to all absorb into your body? Or did you actually open it up and look at it? I was like, oh, osmosis. No. Listen, you are not going to be able to pick up God's word and God use it in your life unless you actually put it inside you. Carrying it around don't mean anything. Carrying it around in here means everything. What are you sowing? The laws of the harvest. In review, the harvest is limited to the planting. The harvest comes later than the planting. The harvest is greater than the planting. The harvest is proportionate to the planting. And we can't do anything about this year's harvest, but we can plan for next year's. Where are you today? I trust that God has moved in your heart and moved in your life in such a fashion that He has pointed some things out to you today, that He's pointed some things out to each of us. Because you know what? None of us are perfect, are we? We can see where we have sown some things. And like I said, I think I'm glad, at least at this particular point in society, that I've gotten a little older and that I don't really care. Because sometimes with other even Christian brothers and sisters, I've had to say, what are you doing? Well, you know, these people and blah, 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 blah. So it's just like Pilate. Remember Pilate back at the trial of Jesus? The crowd was all stirred up, and Pilate did what the crowd wanted to do. It is time that God's people stop doing what the crowd wants to do. And here's what blows my mind even more. Their crowd ain't that big. And yet we're like, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm going to say this. Brad, you guys come on up and take your place. The gospel is offensive to the sinner. Plain and simple. I didn't come up here today to say, ooh, let's see if we can just blow people away in Central Baptist Church. Now, that's not what we did. Because, see, you do it in love. But the gospel in and of itself is offensive in the face of sin. Isn't it? It's time some people become offended that they might have eternal life in Jesus Christ. It is time that God's people stood up and be counted and not become like the world. Let me ask you this question. Those that you deal with every day in your work week, your school week, whatever it may be, do they know you're a Christian? And if they do, if they sit back and say, well, yeah, so-and-so's a Christian. What makes them say that? Well, I attend church on Sunday. Hell's going to be full of church people. You see, the other part of that is they'll sit back and you said, hey, have you got some Christian co-workers? This is what I hear a lot of times. Supposedly I do. I'm like, oh, okay. Why supposedly? And here's inevitably what they'll say. They'll do a good job when they're at church. They know all the hymns. They serve in these different areas. But their life that I see on a daily basis at work does not reflect what that Bible says. Ouch. And we've all made promises to God, haven't we? Lord, if you'll just help me score this touchdown, I'll quit cussing. And then the next play, you scored a touchdown, and you're like, beep! You see, we always break those promises. God knows that. But what are you sowing? Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What is it when it comes down to our brothers and sisters? I like what it said in that particular passage, especially to the brothers and sisters of Christ. And we treat each other like dogs today, don't we? We talk about people. We gossip behind their backs. When they've been taken in a fall, we don't rush to help them. We shun them. That's not biblical. When they're walking in the darkest valleys of their life, we're like, I ain't going in there. They need to hear that voice. See, they need to hear the voice of the Master, but they also need to know that the Master has left someone with them. Some of you in this room know that. You have had somebody walk through the darkest night you've ever had in your life, not because they had to, but because they wanted to, because they loved you. And that meant something to you, didn't it? It meant something to you. And you have vowed that if they ever find themselves in a deep, dark hole, you will be with them along the way. See, that's what God's people should be. Are we? What challenge has He issued to you today? See, there's a whole bunch of different areas about sowing and reaping. Yeah, we talked about financially because it talks about financially. But we talked about it spiritually because it talks about it spiritually. Every single area of your life, you are sowing something. Oh, rest assured, you have a green thumb because it's going to grow. And when it grows and when it produces, it's going to produce more than you ever thought it would. I don't know about you, but I certainly want it to be something good and enjoyable when it comes down to the harvest, right? Not the bitter dregs of life, because there'll be a pile of them too, if that's what you sow. So my question, first of all, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Is He truly in charge of your life? Have you surrendered to Him? If not, stop what you're doing. Don't take another step without confessing before the Father in prayer, Lord, I am a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. I believe what He did on Calvary's cross. I belong to You now. In Jesus' name. See, if you prayed that prayer, I will promise you, if you meant it with all your heart, that's what He said. He said, welcome to the kingdom. Now start acting like a kingdom's child. And that's a process too. It takes time. Spiritual growth is painstaking. So don't think that you're going to be, you know, like you planted something, you're going to go out the next day and go, no tomatoes. No, it takes time. But every day, work on it. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has convicted you in some area of your life about what you're sowing. Because you've been sitting there and your whole life has been, why do I keep harvesting all these bitter dregs? Well, that's what you planted. Stop planting the bitter dregs and start planting the goodly and godly things. Oh, you'll enjoy harvest time then. It'll be a pleasure. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I'm coming home. Lord, I'm heading back to You. I don't even know the direction, but let me just tell You this. Get up and start walking because the Master, He knows where you are, and He'll find you and He'll meet you there. Just get up and get away from where you are and get to where He is. He'll find you. I promise. I promise. Maybe you need a good old-fashioned altar. We don't seem to have these anymore, you know. You can fill out a card, you can send me an email, you can do all that mess, but nothing beats an altar, does it? If you need me, I'm here. Brad's going to lead us in just a moment in our invitation hymn. This is just a time for you to do business with God. So what are you going to do based on what he has shown you today? I'm just going to ask that we stand right where we are as we sing our invitation hymn. Chase, if he'd come on down, those that are part of our baptismal crew, if you would make your way on down to the front, as well as our ushers, as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering.
That you give us to give back to you a portion of what you have so richly blessed us. Lord, as we take this offering today, we pray that you will bless the giver and the gift. Use the gift that others might come to know Jesus and know him as Lord. We ask it in his name. Amen.
it is always a joy to be able to have and to celebrate times such as this, when we're talking about those that are obediently following our Lord and Savior and believers' baptism. We've said this many times and continue to do so. Baptism is not salvation, but baptism is the first act of obedience following salvation. It is truly the public profession. So today, you know, as Chase comes, he is making his public profession to say, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to follow him. And I'm so proud of him. Come on down. Might as well let people see you instead of just me. Change your mind, huh? Not about getting baptized, but about his glasses. I've had a chance to watch, you know, he and his brother grow up. I've messed their names up between the two of them because I can't hardly ever tell which one's which. But I know that at times in life, particularly at this age, there are a lot of struggles, and the Lord, you know, tends to get attention along the way. And I'm proud of his decision today. I'm proud of what he told me before, where he says, "You know what? This is real. I want this to be real, and I want this to be a good new start." And as he comes before his brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here to support him. We're here to pray for him. We're here to be there for him as he needs us to be there. Through the good times and through the bad. Through the times when he's made really good decisions and the times when he's made some really horrible decisions. Because all of us have been there. Amen? Amen. So with that, Chase, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, sir, I have.
In obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Like I said, I so love and enjoy these opportunities and being able to share that with church family, with friends as we gather together, because that's what we're here for. Amen? And it is a celebration. I love it. One thing I want to mention, and then I think you got announcements, right, David? One thing I do want to mention before David, or as he makes his way up to do the announcements, is a lot of you know Larry and Hannah Johnson, dear, sweet friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. Larry is now having to have dialysis three times a week. That's on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. We have an opportunity to be able to help minister to them in helping get Larry to these dialysis appointments. You know, Cherie Johansson, right there is Cherie. So you see Cherie, put your hand up so they can see you. Cherie is trying to help coordinate that. So if there is a way that you could either take Larry or pick Larry up for his dialysis on Tuesday, Thursday, and or Saturday, that would be extremely, extremely helpful to them. So please, please, please see Cherie. And as a matter of fact, we need to start this pretty quickly because I think the 29th is when he, say that again?
Next Saturday,
the 29th is when we would really need to be able to have some assistance. They have some children, but not close by here to be able to help with that. So now is the time for us as God's family to come to the aid of those, not because we have to, but because we want to. And if you've never had a chance to just sit and talk with Larry and Hannah, you're missing out on a treat. I promise you that would be great. And like I say, we're not saying that you have to stay there the whole time, but just get him, you know, just trying to get Larry there to dialysis and get him back. If there's enough people that we have to be able to do that, then maybe somebody could take him in the morning, somebody else could pick him up in the evening. So like I say, it's not like an all-day commitment, but please, please, please pray about that. If you don't even have to pray about that, you can see Cherie today, and she can get you on the list, and we'll keep you posted as it goes. Brother David.
Chase's new life in Christ, this is not when he got saved, this is when he told you he's gotten saved. It's his witness. We're also celebrating some birthdays this week. Today is Carol Boone and Dan Wagner's birthday. And then Monday is Tammy Bowman's birthday. Wednesday is Mark Boone's birthday. And Saturday is Rachel Cazito's birthday. So if you know them, drop them a line. Put something on Facebook about them that you know that won't embarrass them. And tell them happy birthday. In our schedule today, D-Life meets at 3:30. Choir rehearsal is 4:45. Awana's at 5:30. Bible study in here at 6 o'clock this evening. Band rehearsal is at 7. Then the CBC Classic Gospel Singers are meeting at 4 tomorrow instead of 3. Is that correct?
Tuesday.
Huh?
Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. And then men's breakfast at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax at 10 o'clock Wednesday morning, every Wednesday morning. Then next Sunday, April the 30th, fifth Sunday night singing, 6 o'clock in here. Instead of Bible study, we're going to have music. And the choir's going to be singing, the band's going to be playing, there's going to be some other special music. So you want to be here. Hope you'll be here. We have our bi-monthly blood drive on May the 16th here at the church from 2 to 6:30. And then we're getting ready to start CPR classes. And if you'd like to sign up, there's a sign-up sheet out there. If you have any questions about it, if you'll ask Betty Cazito, she is coordinating that. And then there's some things that we've been promoting, one of which is a ball game at Truist Field. We did not have enough people sign up to do that, so I left the sign-up sheet out there. We needed 20, I think. We only had about 7 people sign up. So if you want to go, still go. You want to find somebody that still wants to go, you guys probably carpool. Tickets will be a little bit more. Last time I went to one of the Dash ball games, I think tickets were like $13.50, so it wasn't that much more. So please, if you want to go, find somebody that wanted to go and go with them. Camp Carefree, we found out a little bit more information about Camp Carefree that might make it more conducive for you to be able to be involved. There's a sign-up sheet out there. We've had a lot of people sign up. Thank you for doing that. We found out what time the meals are. Breakfast is at 8:30, lunch is at 12:30, and dinner is at 6:30 in the evening. So if you work till 5 o'clock and you want to come up there and help us serve the meal or something, getting off at 5, you can get there probably by 6:30. Camp Carefree is just the other side of Stokesdale. So we'd like very much for you to be a part of that. Now, the last thing. Annie Armstrong, Easter offering. We haven't been showing videos the last couple of weeks, but we're still accepting that offering. We are $1,195 short of $8,000, which was our goal for Annie Armstrong this year. If you haven't had an opportunity to give and be a part of that, it supports North American Missions. We've got next Sunday is the last Sunday that we'll be taking that offering. Thank you for being here today. I'm so glad you came to witness Chase's baptism and share that with his family. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. God, we thank you for the testimony that Chase Harold has given to us, that he belongs to you and he wants to serve you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless this church family and Chase's family, that each one of us will be an encouragement to him. Now, Lord, as we go our separate ways, we thank you for the message our pastor shared with us today. Help us to sow some seed as we go along the way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.